I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Are you searching for the ultimate transparent Nashville drive tone, but have limited pedalboard real estate and a limited pedal budget? Well, Nobels have you covered, because the new Nobels ODR Mini is a mini pedal version of the world-famous Nobels ODR 1 for less than £70. Delivering everything from pushed clean amp tone to gain-filled stacks, the Nobels ODR has been a hidden gem in the world of guitar overdrive since its invention in 1993. This pedal is guaranteed to be a big part of your sound, but a small part of your pedal board. Available from all good guitar shops, or visit nobels.de for more info. Check out Reverend Guitar's incredible range of artist signature models. With nearly as many artist line guitars as they do in their standard range, there is something for every type of player, and always with a wonderful twist. Check out the Bob Balch and Robin Fink signature models based on the Reverend Sensei standard model. These double cut set neck Carina body classics are set apart by some wonderful subtle differences. New for 2020, and unlike the standard Sensei, the Balch features a gorgeously contoured body, Reverend's famous additional bass contour control, and Balch's own signature set of Railhammer humbucking pickups, perfect for all that fuzzalicious tone. The Fink, on the other hand, streamlines and modernizes the classic body shape with minimal contours, ebony board, flat black or white finishes, a pickguardless appearance, and only the volume and Reverend bass contour controls. Both guitars offer different but wonderful reincarnations of the classic Reverend Sensei. Check them out along with the rest of Reverend's substantial range of guitars and basses at reverendguitars.com. Hello and welcome to the Guitar Nerds Podcast, the world's number one guitar podcast. I am your host, Joe Branton, joined this week by Mark Packham.
Hello there.
Matt Knight.
Oh, hello.
And Jay Cross.
Why am I last?
I was trying to think of something funny to say.
And I was then mixing it up. I was keeping it
well, don't
on the level.
Well, don't.
Well, yes, I apologize. Anyway, listener, welcome back to another Guitar Nerds podcast episode. This week, we've got lots of news and things to talk about. There's some exciting things. Things are starting to happen again in the world of guitar, so there's some cool stuff there. But before we get into any of that, we should introduce our new patrons who have joined us this week. Thank you very much for joining Guitar Nerds. You can do the same over at patreon.com/guitar nerds. There's a dollar, a $5, and a $10 tier that you can become a part of. And welcome to Andrew Nunn and to Tim Barnsley, who both join us, and Todd Simons, who also joins us at the $10 tier. So Todd is going to be added to the Patreon song at the end. So I'm excited about that. Another name, and as I'm getting hurtling closer and closer to having to write a new song so that I can actually fit all the names in, I've managed to get sort of the whole first part of this year, you know, out of just this one song and redoing the vocals, but I am getting ever closer. So
how close are we to hitting our next goal, the mod mode goal?
We're always around the same amount, like $150, $200 away from that sort of.
Where are we right now?
Target?
Actually, no, it's jumped up a fair bit recently. So we are
certainly has, yeah.
We're at $1,334, and we said that we'll do the mod mode videos at $1,500 a month. So
indeed,
we're like $166 $5 away per month. So, yeah, I mean, that's not going to take many people signing up at the $5 tier. And that's, I guess, the tier where we'll be releasing the videos to, right? Do we want to do we want to do it to the $1?
I don't know.
People?
Like, I, if 100, I'm not sure.
If 150 people signed up at the $1 tier right now, I think we could confidently say we would release the videos to the $1 tier as well.
There you go. There you go. Well, that's certainly what we'll say. Now, last last week we finally gave away all that pink stuff,
and it went to someone in the UK rather than you having to send it to Australia or something.
I was very, very happy about that. Yeah, we also gave away a. Stuart Tate, who obviously offered up the pink Antares, which was part of the pink giveaway, also offered up a limited edition germanium transistor, Raise the Dead Fuzz, which we gave away just to our patrons. And the patron that won that did, in fact, live in Australia. So,
well, there we go.
Yes. So there you go. So, yeah, so you all around the world.
You stuck it in a bottle and threw it into the sea, and well, fingers crossed it arrives. Yeah.
Well, actually, good old Stuart Tate from Tate Effects sent that one out. Direct from Stuart Tate. So yes. So I don't know how he did it, but I imagine not a bottle.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Well. Anyway, so we're gonna do another giveaway. This month, because we've been doing them in kind of month batches, you know, so this month we're teaming up with Ashdown. Ashdown, of course, were part of the pink giveaway with that big pink Rootmaster single 15 cabinet. But they are also they're also joining us for this one, and we're doing a double giveaway this time. So so this is your
not
chance.
Giveaways going on, isn't there?
Yeah, I know. Yeah, people seem to be really, you know, I'm not looking for these. Brands are like, do you want to give your audience stuff? And I'm like, yes, that sounds good.
I say
let's
no.
Do that.
They don't deserve it.
Yeah. Yeah, I know you said that. That's you get quite violent about that sometimes.
I do. Yeah, yeah. I tell the brands our audience doesn't deserve this great thing that you're giving away, but they say
give it
no,
to me instead.
We want to do it anyway.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Lots of we're always violence with you. Anyway, this is the chance for two separate lucky people to win one of those wonderful new Ashdown floor mounted pedal based amplifier things. So Ashdown have released the Ant. And the Newt.
Deck.
100% thought you were going to say the Ant and the Deck.
Oh, they've missed a trick there, haven't they?
They have.
So one bass player and one guitarist can win this. Because we're giving away, both of the pedals are 200 watt amplifiers, obviously, for your floorboard. I'm sure you've seen them. So the Ashdown Newt is a 200 watt amp for guitar, and the Ant is a 200 watt amp for bass in pedal format. The Newt that we have is even in a lovely limited edition pastel color, so a metallic pastel greeny blue. I'm not quite sure if it's green or blue, somewhere in between those. Which is incredibly cool. So, you know, as usual, all you have to do is find the post on any of our social, go to Facebook or Instagram, find the entry post and follow the steps there to enter. And the competition's open worldwide, and we'll be announcing the winner right here on the podcast on the 10th of June. So you will have until the 8th of June to enter, because we record a couple of days in advance of when things go out. But yes, very cool. A 200 watt, like especially the guitar one, like the bass one is definitely super cool, but 200 watts is towards the lower end of, you know, what a sort of gigging bass amp is. A 200 watt guitar amplifier in a cool limited edition color. This is just perfect. This is perfect for anyone who's, you know, maybe using things like Helixes and GT1000s and wants to still go into a cabinet. You know, for gigging, remember that, or it's perfect for anyone who's like, you know, everyone's the thing about these amps is they are power amps, but they do have a basic EQ. So they just have a master volume, and then they have a bass, middle and treble. And then they do actually even have a little scoop control as well. So you can do some basic tone shaping there. But if you have a preamp pedal, or if you use like a really dynamic trans transparent drive. You can couple it with that and the rest of your pedals and literally have your rig on your pedal board and then just have to, you know, borrow cabs or whatever. I think these are an absolutely fantastic solution. Obviously, we're giving these away, but they're £299, you know, for a 200 watt guitar amplifier. I think that's fantastic. I think this is
that's
a
great
really
value.
It is great value.
Per watt value.
Per watt value, it is fantastic. But yes, listener, go and check out our social and enter the competition. And we'll be announcing it in a month's time. So, just to
jump in here, Joe, you know, last time when you said that you did it over all of the social things and it took you all day to compile the list, have you done that again?
So actually, it's funny that you mentioned that because this is we didn't talk about this before. I didn't tell you this before we podcasted or anything. So here you go, listener, a little behind the curtain. I spent a good portion of today registering guitar nerds with various competition apps, you know, things like Gleam and Hi-O and stuff like that. And, you know, I spent some time sort of building the landing page and stuff, and then, you know, designing the entry so that it could all be collated, so everyone's names gets collated into one place. And then I was sort of almost finished and I was like, this is rubbish, really. These apps all require people. There's no way of turning off like the amount of information people need to enter, and all I want from this is for lots of people to interact with us. You know, that's a bonus for me. I don't want anyone's information. And there's no real way of doing that. And I realized as soon as you move people having to enter off onto some third party site, it's just takes the fun out of it. So I thought I'll just be committed to having to copy paste names.
So not only are we paying you to try and create a better solution to this, which you failed, but also to revert to your original solution, which we know takes an entire day.
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Sweet. Just wanted to clarify that's what you're getting paid for.
Yes, I apologize. But good. I think after some reflection, I've come to the right decision, and this is going to be good. Anyway, let's talk about some guitar stuff, because this week we received a Merchant City Music shop. Wonderful, wonderful guitar shop in Scotland. Exclusive Reverend Jetstream 390 in pink. I can't remember what Reverend called their pink.
This one is Foam Shrimp Pink.
Foam Shrimp, that was it. Oh, it's so good. It's such a great colour name.
I may be wrong, but I have a feeling that that name was put in place by Merchant City Music.
Really?
Potentially. I don't know if Foam Shrimps are a sweet in America.
I'm not sure. I think it's definitely something. YouTuber Colin Scott did mention that when I posted about it and said, do they still send these out with foam shrimps? And I was like, I don't know what you're talking about. But, you know, I
don't think they're vegan either, so can't eat those.
Probably not. But
sorry, go on, Joe.
No, I was just going to say, what an absolutely incredible guitar. I've got a bit to say about this guitar, but obviously you guys have seen it as well.
Just throwing it out there, one of the best looking guitars ever made. That colour, with those pickups, with that plate on that body shape, baked maple neck, I mean, that is just so good.
The Jetstream is a gorgeous shape. It's such a wonderful sort of slightly offset, lovely 50s, like sharp enough angles, the elongated upper horn. It's a nice sort of slightly sharper Jaguar shape. Having the binding always works so well with like a shell pink style color, like white binding. Yeah. The mint guard just looks incredible. As you say, Mark, the baked maple sets it off. It looks so premium. And then I love the 3P90s.
Oh, man. Too many.
I just need to buy a Reverend now. Like,
I
had one. I totally had one. I had the 290 version of this Charger 290, Charger, which is the fixed bridge P90 guitar that they do.
Was the Charger that shape? I thought the Charger was a more sort of offset telly shape.
Yeah, you're right. Sorry, the Charger is the more sort of rounded shape.
Right.
Oh, so good. It was fixed bridge as well. It's like stop tail. I sold it just because I was kind of thinning out guitars. But now, like, I've got nothing else going on. I've just got a real hunger for buying guitars again.
I mean, Reverend are the place to go.
I know.
Matt, you've got something very similar to this.
Yes, I think I've got the Matt West Signature, which I think is the same body shape, same design, but with the one P90.
And you get a torque guard on that as well.
Yes. So the Foam Shrimp Pink is a Merchant City exclusive, so it's only available from Merchant City. So I think they got to name the color. But there's a couple of things. I mean, the P90s are quite powerful, but they work so well. They sound really good. They can be clean, but you can really drive them. And I think the main thing for me with that is the bass contour. It's just I don't know why everything doesn't just have that bass contour. It's
what exactly does the bass contour do?
Well, it's a passive bass roll off. So it can totally revoice the entire pickup. So if you roll it all the way back, you almost get kind of like a bit more of a single coil sort of vibe. It's a bit brighter, and then as soon as you can start, like you bring it back up, it just like if they become really boomy. They don't become like overly bassy, but it just fattens everything up, and it's almost like turning the guitar up in a mix. It just everything sounds better when you turn it up. But obviously, you can really dial it back if you want to go, because it does push the amp a little bit harder, in my opinion.
Right.
But for me, for the price, I think these are $799 from Merchant City. It's the Reverend, the Wilkinson Trem. So they use the model number here is WVS50. But it's that and the varied claw tremolo, which gives it like a really springy feel, like straight out of the box. So you almost feel like you can dive bomb on it, but you can also do some really subtle movements, but it stays in tune really well. And it just feels like a really high quality part for a guitar of like ridiculously good value.
Yeah.
To me, and I think actually it was interesting when we tried a bunch at Birmingham Guitar Show, one of the guys I work with was playing the Matt West and was like, oh, how much is it? And I was like, they're like $799, $899. He was like, I had this like pinned at like $1,899.
Yeah, that's exactly what I said about this Jetstream as well. Like it completely feels like an £1,800 guitar.
Yeah, I mean, the setups are great out of the box, but I mean, locking tuners, everything feels a bit more custom. It feels a bit more like loved.
Well, it's the handwritten serial numbers on the back, I think, are just a lovely little touch as well.
We've talked about it a few times, I think, haven't we? Just like not only is it the value for money, but like there's just something about them when you get them out of the box that feels so much more premium than the price point suggests.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely.
I can completely ascertain to that now, I think. I think for me, this is probably the first time I've spent some proper time with a Reverend out of the box. Obviously, we've always been very complimentary and I've tried them at shows and stuff, but I've always been like, yeah, this is fine. These are great. And then when this turned up and I got it out of the box and it was set up like a dream and, in tune out of the box and just seeing all these features and the incredible, build quality and attention to detail of the guitars and then plugging this one in and playing it, I can't believe the price of this guitar. I can't believe this is a £799 guitar. I can't believe everyone doesn't just play Reverend now.
Yeah,
you sounded exactly like Victor Meldrew there.
Did I?
I can't believe
this guitar's only $799.
I mean, the pickups are a great choice because the pickups they put in there are kind of like an overwhelmed vintage P90. So they, they measure out pretty hot, but just as like if you want a Les Paul Junior type vibe, you can get that, but then you've got a P90 in the neck as well. So you've got all these kind of like great rhythm options. And that, like I said, that bass contour just lightens everything up as well. Like for the money, it is definitely one of the best guitars you can buy.
Absolutely.
Down.
And this specific, the Jetstream 390 in this limited edition color, what an incredible steal. Emma more or less hasn't put this guitar down since it's turned up at our place. She absolutely loves it. But Yeah, I'm totally converted. So I was like, immediately, I was like, maybe I should get myself a Reverend bass. But of course, the problem that I have is that I have a very specific amount of colours that I'm allowed to buy, which is kind of black or sunburst or at a push, a cherry red.
Pretty much all their stuff comes in black.
Yeah, not a lot of the basses, actually. But the bass that I really especially love, because I really don't like the sort of large, you know, those big block pickups on basses either. So the thing that they do for bass, which is very cool, is the I think it's called the Triad. The Triad, which is a three-pickup jazz bass in the Jetstream body shape. Plateless with an old 51 P bass style set of controls. Rather a Telecaster set of controls. But obviously with a five way for those three jazz bass pickups. Incredibly cool block inlays and the roasted neck and the gorgeous binding. And you can get it in a lovely red, which is kind of, depending on how light that red is, that's almost part of the sort of okay area of what I would get. But it's a very cool guitar and a triple pickup jazz bass. That is exactly what I want. But then over in the set neck range of stuff, so fulfilling my other sort of more retro Gibson-y style of things, they do a medium scale Basshauer Fatfish, the Brad Hauser signature model. So it's a medium scale set neck hollow body with a P bass pickup in the middle and a jazz pickup in the neck position.
I just want to know how you haven't bought a Dub King yet, because the Dub King is hollow body, short scale, two available humbuckers.
Available in black and available in...
They call it Mulberry Mist, but I would suggest that it's very close to a Burgundy Mist.
Yeah, I do. I look at this one a lot.
I mean, that would be right up your street.
The one I like the best is the Mike Watt, Watt Plower. The Watt Plower in the satin Watt yellow. I mean, it's super 70s. It looks almost like a Yamaha SG.
It's definitely very cool.
It looks fantastic.
Oh, yeah, and there's also the... version 2 now as well, Mark 2, which only comes in the green,
but I think it's got the neck
humbucker as well. It's like right up your street, JB.
Yeah, it's not just a neck humbucker, actually. You get an extra bass side of precision pickup
as well. That's so weird. I hadn't even noticed that. It's like, where you've got the, you know, the normal two blocks of the precision pickup, there's three blocks.
Yeah, exactly.
How have you not bought one of these?
Lots of extra low end, because it's got an anchor on the first fret. But
oh, that's true.
Yeah. But
that's whatever.
Yeah, I know. I could definitely get around that. But no, I just prefer some of the other more reverendy shapes. I think if I was going to get a reverend, I'd want to get a bolt on, because I just love the baked necks and everything. The whole look of those, I think, is really...
I want the short scale Billy Corgan.
The short scale Billy Corgan guitar does great. Look fantastic, because it's also a single pickup version as well.
Yeah.
It's another...
Yeah, it's wicked.
It does look... absolutely wonderful.
Any guesses to the tuning?
It's a GCF A sharp DG.
It is.
So it's a 19th century style tuning.
What do you mean by that? What, tune like a tune like a lute?
I don't know. That's just what it's referred to as.
I think it's like a cap on a third fret, isn't it?
Is it? Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Yeah.
They I like all the Pete Anderson guitars they do. You know, things like the PA1, which is the kind of Gretsch style thing. But then there's also obviously he's got like
not quite. It's tuned to a minor third.
Oh right. Okay. The Pete Anderson stuff is worth checking out as well. With all the East Sider guitars, which are T style guitars, but he's got some kind of, you know, big hollow body styles as well. They're can't say enough good stuff about Reverend, as we always do.
Yes,
absolutely. I'm kind of.
That's the next one.
Yeah, that is the next thing. But I'm not kind of new to the club, but I guess new to being completely in love with Reverend guitars. I think they're absolutely fantastic.
Speaking of baritone guitars, just to go off a little off topic for a sec, Matty, your old baritone guitar stuck its head above water for a second.
Yeah. Oh, is it gone already? Is it?
I don't know. I don't know. I haven't looked. I haven't looked.
Yeah, I had an Italia Mondial. Is that the model?
Yeah, Italia Mondial. Yeah.
Which was a one pickup, kind of Les Paul double cut, I guess you would call
kind
it.
Kind of weird sort of body shape, like real slim in the middle. Like tight, unlike
us.
Well, yeah, exactly. Yeah. I was going to say tight waist. That definitely doesn't apply to me at the moment.
Yeah, which I had. I converted to baritone. I installed an Atari button kill switch, sold it, and now it's up for like four times what I sold it for. And the guy says, The kill switch doesn't work, and it never has, and that is a lie because it did, and I used it often. That was a great guitar as well. Actually, it's funny because that guitar, kind of the way I felt about that and the way it played, reminds me about how the same way I feel about Reverend. It's just like straight out of the box, just a great guitar. But yeah, I was like, yeah, if it was up for what I sold it for.
You pulled that Italia out of a gig bag that someone brought into GAC, and they were like, oh, can you buy this off me, please? Like, that didn't come straight out of the box.
Straight out of the bag,
already tuned up. So you thought, yeah.
I was like, you know what
Geezer
I mean.
Geezer tuned it up outside.
As soon as I played it, I was like, yeah, straight away. I mean, he could well have had it set up, but that guitar just played great. And
It was a great guitar.
But I don't miss it because I have my Reverend Matt West, which is basically exactly the same sort of setup. Not tuned to baritone. I would quite like this guitar if it was also in baritone tuning, but kind of don't need that many baritone guitars. One is enough.
So this bank holiday weekend just gone. I've been recording a load of stuff, doing some home recording with my band, where we're exchanging stems, as it were, and putting together tracks, using, you know, Dropbox and that, and then I'm doing the final mixes on everything at my end. But it came to, you know, we've been messing around, like, you know, I'll put down a bass line and stuff, and predominantly at the moment, the bass I have next to me in my sort of office setup is my Gibson SG bass, and that's what I laid down all the rough lines. And it came to recording everything proper over the weekend. And
wait, are you recording like your actual album at home?
No, we just wrote a new one instead. So we've benched the album because we can't record real drums, so we're
that's what I was kind of asking, really. Are you doing a sort of Smashing Pumpkins what was that out a door where they didn't have the real drums on it?
It's more like Tom York's Eraser sort of.
I wouldn't know that, mate, sorry.
Yeah, okay.
I'd be amazed if I was like, yeah, I love that record.
Yeah. What, me? Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Big fan. I love that. Love Radiohead.
Big fan of Yorkies. Yep.
Yeah. Well, it's
I do like Yorkies, to be fair.
It's that sort of thing. So we're replacing everything with electronic drums, and actually an awful lot of the drums we're creating using a Boss slicer and a guitar.
Of course. When you want to record your drum track, what are the two things that you think? I think electric guitar, Boss slicer.
Well, the Boss slicer is very versatile.
I tell you what, Joe. Chris has really not had a good start to the year, has he? First of all, all his touring work gets cancelled. Yeah. Then he gets a gig working as a, you know, in-house sound engineer. All the venues get closed, and now he's been replaced in his own band by a guitar pedal and a guitar. I mean, poor geezer.
Yeah, I do feel bad for the guy. He found out.
Why don't you just buy him a drum machine and just be like, just program that?
Don't plug it in.
He's too busy at the moment. He's started working. He's working at a food bank all hours. And
cool. I shouldn't have laughed then. I'm very sorry.
No, he's the problem with Chris is that he's such a good human being. And so when there are times of toil like we're in right now,
how's he put up with you?
Yeah, well, no, exactly.
The worst human being.
We don't get
cancel each other out.
But yeah, he's being wonderful and doing all of that stuff. But today he found out that that he gags at the touch of polystyrene, which is a weird thing. it's a weird thing to share on the podcast
about?
Too. But it's true. Yeah, apparently
to share
it's
on
a
the
thing.
Podcast. Yeah.
anyway, back on track.
Good job nobody listens to this.
Back on track. Yes. So
it's a great album.
So I'm coming to record sort of all the proper bass parts, and I'm like, I couldn't get happy exactly with the tone, and I've been messing around with the Helix, trying different amp presets, looking up. Helix have a wonderful tone community, so I've been looking up, see what other people are doing. Unfortunately, most bass players that use Helixes it's all sort of weird scoop metal stuff, so it's very hard to find anything decent for bass on there. So kind of developing my own tones, thinking maybe I need to change it up, maybe I need to try out some other stuff. So I'm using some of the two notes bits I have. I even go and buy a new like Ampeg sim plugin to use, one that came recommended from a studio engineer that I work with a lot. And I eventually came to the conclusion where I was listening to some of the guide stuff that Tim had sent over, whereas of course Tim, all of our equipment is at the lockup next to Tim's, so he's been using my jazz basses, and I was like, oh, maybe that's it. So I went and got one of the 62 the Japanese 62 reissued jazz basses that I have up on the Harlequin Guitar Club reverb shop, and I popped a set of power slinkies on there, tuned it into, you know, the into D standard, and everything sounded amazing.
What had you been using?
Well, I've been using the Gibson SG bass.
Okay.
I'm going through a real sort of strong Gibson phase. Like, I'm selling everything. I sold my Baha. Like, you know, I'm selling everything Fender, and I just want my ES-175 and the SG bass. But now,
basically, I just don't want any top end from any of your guitars.
Yeah. But I do need and love top end. So I started using the jazz bass again, and I was like, oh, this feels really good to play as well, and it sounds really good.
As a suggestion, you should check out the Precision Bass. I don't know if you've heard of it. I mean, if you like the jazz bass, I tell you what, mate, you're going to be blown away when you hear this thing.
Well, I've got a couple of those. I've got the 50s one with Seymour Duncan Quarter Pounders, but I always find that just a little bit too hot on
That's because you've put Seymour Duncan Quarter Pounder in there.
Yes, yeah. And I also have the... I also have the 1962 P bass here as well, which sounds great, which sounds wonderful.
I love that you've got like one of the most desirable instruments out of anyone like I've ever met. You know, you've got like a real 60s P bass, and you're like, yeah, just don't really use it. Can't be bothered.
Yeah, maybe that is a mistake. Maybe you're right. Maybe I am making a mistake.
Joe, I've said say it again. The Precision Bass is the most important invention in musical instruments.
I agree. It
ever,
was.
Actually.
And then it was perfected in the jazz bass.
When? I don't think so.
Oh, 1960, 61, something like
oh,
that.
Oh, they come with a P bass pickup then.
Speaking of 1961, I see Fender have released it. Released it? They have released it. Fender have released it, a limited edition traditional 61 jazz bass with concentric stack pot controls in a lovely sort of three-tone sunburst, but like sort of it looks like a real like Friday afternoon job sunburst, which is great for sort of, you know, for 61, that's kind of what you want. Japanese made, but it looks like it's that's going to be making an appearance soon. I think I might have to get one. I'm very excited about that. Anything with stack pot controls, and I'm right there.
I normally wouldn't be with you, but having only played my Dan Electro guitar for the last however long this quarantine has lasted, I'm sort of feeling that as well. The stack pots on that work very well.
Oh, there you go. Stack pots are good. Well, anyway, we should get started on some news.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Here's the jingle.
News.
So Mark Packham, first up. There are some new and very good-looking guitars from Schecter.
There are indeed. And actually, this is a little confusing because some of these shapes we've seen before. In fact, I'm almost certain all of these shapes have been seen before. But there's some new colour options and stuff. And I think they've just kind of like changed the line around a little bit and upgrade some of the specs to kind of bring them back into the public consciousness. So four new models. The first one being the Corsair, which is Schecter's kind of 335 style semi-hollow. And the cool thing about this is that they've got a really nice trem on there. I believe it's Schecter's own design. Yeah, it is. But it's like a real vintage sort of Bixby style trem, real long trem arm on there. And if you're looking for kind of an alternative to a 335, something that's a little bit cheaper than a Gibson one, but slightly more expensive than the standard Epiphone stuff, this might actually fill that niche.
Very good looking.
It is good looking. It's slightly, I would say, more modern. You know, it's a bit more kind of tucked in, a bit pointier than a regular 335.
And the Zebra pickups add to that.
Pickups add to that as well. They give that kind of modded look. And also the Schecter headstock, you know, it's not too far away, to be honest, from a kind of Gibson style one. It's that kind of almost like a bat wing kind of, imagine the Gibson headstock but with slightly pointier edges.
It's like an open book if you were halfway through opening the book.
Sure. I don't get that, but yeah, sure. Whatever you say, Joe.
Guitar Nerds is brought to you in association with Faith Guitars. Based right here in the UK, Faith Guitars are designed by British guitar luthier Patrick James Eggle, who has been hand-building guitars for decades for some of the biggest names in the business. Founded in 2002, Faith Guitars have been voted the UK's best acoustic guitars 5 times in a row by both the public and panels of music industry experts, so you can be confident in your new Faith guitar. Like all quality acoustics, Faith guitars are made of all solid tone wood, so you can be sure they'll start off sounding great and improve year on year. Faith don't use laminated woods, but you'll be pleased to know that despite the all solid tone woods, the superb specification and handmade construction, Faith guitars are still affordable, with prices starting at around £450 or $600. Discover the range at faithguitars.com and then visit one of the many UK or European retailers to try them for yourself. But hold up! If you're in the USA or Canada, you can buy direct at faithguitarsusa.com, and by using the coupon code NERDS at the checkout, you can get an exclusive 10% discount. So, in the UK and Europe, check out the guitars at your local dealer or faithguitars.com. But for North American listeners, buy direct at faithguitarsusa.com and use the coupon code NERDS for a special 10% off at the checkout. That's USA coupon code NERDS at the checkout. Faith Guitars, award-winning acoustics designed right here in the UK.
One of the most popular Ernie Ball Music Man models, the John Petrucci Majesty, is being expanded with 4 brand new striking finishes. Now offered in Pink Sand, Red Phoenix, Smoked Pearl, and Ember Glow, the 2020 Majesty features a lightweight Akume body, signature Damasio Rainmaker and Dreamcatcher pickups, and an onboard piezo bridge system that gives the guitar a focused and highly versatile palette of tones. Head to music-man.com to learn more. That's music-man. Now, back to the show.
Block inlays as well. They look super cool. I'm really into it. And the good thing about it is price-wise, they're not mega money. So the listed street price is $999 and three finishes. Gold top, gloss black, or gloss natural. I can only see a picture of the black here, but I'd imagine the gold top looks really cool as well. And probably the natural looks nice as well. The second guitar, which has had a bit of a kind of rejig and brought back into the limelight, is the PT Fastback. Now, this is essentially Schecter's take on Tele Deluxe. And instead of humbuckers, features two sort of Gretsch style pickups. There's not much more about it than that, really. You know, it's a kind of 70s style Tele Deluxe, so big scratch plate, four controls, hardtail bridge, the two Gretsch style pickups on there, which again I think are Schecter's own, I believe.
Big block inlays, this big dark rosewood neck.
Yeah, block inlays on there. And again, you know, the Schecter kind of Tele style headstock, which again is a bit more of a kind of modern take on the Fender thing. Color-wise, there is Olympic white, again, gold top or a gloss black. They're not mega money. $599.
That is a very good price for a very good looking guitar. Yeah. With awesome mods. I love the idea of having Gretsch style pickups in this sort
of the gold one in particular, I think is super cool. Again, that's the only one I've got a picture of here, but you know, an alternative to a kind of a classic shape.
Yeah.
The other two guitars are much more standard Schecter.
What is happening?
Much more standard Schecter fare. Even
sorry, have they released a Schecter?
Yeah, they have indeed. They've released it. So the Tempest, I know, is one of the shapes that I've seen before. This is a kind of like glued neck. I would say it's almost kind of Les Paul-y. You know, it's
slightly
got two
melted Les Paul.
Melted Les Paul. So two humbuckers, but it's double cutaway rather than a single cutaway of a Les Paul, but you can see where it's taking its inspiration from. Again, it's got that kind of Gibson-y style Schecter headstock. Split block inlays, so kind of like a Les Paul custom almost. And yeah, I don't actually know. It says new features. I think they've just changed the... Oh, sorry. Okay, so pickups on the PT Fastback, which was the Tele style. No. Oh, yeah, Pasadena Plus pickups on that. On this one, on the Tempest, are they saying what the pickups are?
I'm less into the Tempest than I am the other two. It's kind of a poorly Les Paul, this one. It's a bit of a weird shape. I'm not sure
sorry,
I can
100%
get behind
Tempest
it.
Is USA Pasadena Plus pickups. On the Fastback, you have got... They don't make this particularly clear. Doesn't say what the pickups are on that. Oh, sorry, yes, Schecter Diamond Ultratron pickups.
Can I stop you just to tell you what a fantastic job you're doing of this?
It's hard. They've basically done one press release with four guitars in with no break in the text, and it's very difficult to discern this.
Yeah.
USA humbuckers on there, 22 jumbo frets, all the stuff you'd expect from kind of Les Paul-y type guitars. And it looks nice. Price-wise on those, you're looking at $1099 street
price. I guess, you know, whenever you're dealing with glued neck stuff, you're going to be looking at more expensive things. And this is also, it's a kind of carved top setup as well, and the binding, all the rest. But yeah, I can't get behind this shape as much as the other two. The other two look like real strong alternatives, because that's what these three are, aren't they? They're alternatives. So, you know, the Corsair's a Gibson alternative, the PT Fastback's a Fender alternative, and the Tempest is, again, a sort of Gibson alternative.
I think
the other two I can get behind.
The thing with the Tempest, I think it has been out at a cheaper price point, and this one is kind of slightly more deluxe version. So yeah, that's kind of where the price point is in that. And then the last one is the C1 Exotic Spalted Maple.
It's one of their quintessential shapes.
Yeah, exactly that. It's super strat, you know, as you'd expect. And yeah, it's sport maple top, which looks lovely. You've got some kind of crazy sort of I can't actually see from this, but they're kind of wavy design inlays on there. This is very much a kind of Mettler's guitar. It's got a no Floyd on there though. I think it's Wilkinson Bridge. Yeah, Wilkinson WVS52K tremolo bridge, which is much like the ones that Matt was talking about on the Reverend guitars.
Good bridges.
Yeah, really good bridges. You know, because you can do the kind of dive bombing stuff without the guitar going particularly out of tune, but also not needing the double locking system. Schecter 78 pickups in here with a vintage inspired tone, apparently. But the key thing with this is really is the sport with maple top. You know, if you're buying this guitar, the thing that's going to make you choose this over a bunch of other super strats of a similar shape and similar type is that it is absolutely gorgeous looking. If you want very much a kind of more modern metal style guitar, I would say. Price wise, $799.
Very accessible. For me, the best one there is the Corsair. I really like the Corsair.
Yeah, totally. Boys. Totally. And, you know, again, it goes up against, well, a whole lot, bunch of other stuff in that price point, but it sits nicely in between, I would say, you know, the kind of top end of the Epiphone stuff and the bottom end of the Gibson stuff.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yes, very cool indeed. I guess moving on. Sorry, I was just looking at the Corsair. It's very nice.
I was just while you're doing that, I was trying to find a picture of the gold to see if I could find. Oh, the gold
I want to see the gold. Amazing. I bet that looks.
It looks like they haven't updated their website yet. So I don't actually think the Corsair is even featured here. So I don't think you can see a picture of the gold, even if you wanted to.
A sad, sad shame. Now, Matthew Knight.
Yes.
Continuing the guitar trend. Why don't we talk about Music Man's new offering?
Indeed. So I've been sort of switching between the press release and their website because there are a few inconsistencies. So I'm going to go off the website because I think that is probably the best bet. So Ernie Ball have announced, first of all, the 2020 line of Majesty guitars. That's the John Petrucci signature. So very, very similar specs as before, but a range of different colours and some different body wood options on a couple of those colours. So you've still got the signature DiMarzio Dreamcatcher and Rainmaker pickups, which are his own pickups, the Piezo system, which has been a staple of his guitars for a very, very long time. But they are now introducing Pink Sand, Red Phoenix, Smoked Pearl, and Ember Glow.
Ooh.
And when I was reading this, it made me remember a video I was watching with John Petrucci running through some of these colours or similar colours and then some of the Ball Family Reserve models. I'm like, he must have so many Majesty guitars because he probably gets sent one of every colour they do. He just must have like a ridiculous... Imagine inheriting that collection, being like, yeah, I've got all these guitars. It's like, they're all the same. but that, what they've also done, which I think is very cool, and I'm actually very, very into this, they have introduced the Purple Nebula.
The Purple what?
The Purple Nebula.
Right.
So what they've done here is they've taken the standard Majesty body, but instead of the... So normally it's a mahogany body with the kind of laser-etched maple shield. I think more recently it's been a flame maple shield rather than that sort of carbon fiber look. This is a flame maple topped. I think it's all flame maple topped guitar, so it looks really sleek. It's a really sort of dark pinky purple. And then the neck is a neck through, but it's two pieces of mahogany with a flame maple sandwiched in the middle, and that flame and color runs all the way up the back of the neck. It looks incredibly classy. I think I didn't realize this, but apparently has digital pickup switching, which is something they introduced on this to stop any latency between going between the pickups. Locking machine heads, which I think has been a staple of
what's that about then?
I have no idea. It doesn't actually go into much detail. I would imagine
that it's not you're not actually moving apart, and it's not.
Yes,
it's not like a traditional five-way switch or three-way switch or whatever.
I guess so. Yeah, right. I don't go into a lot of detail here.
You actually do it with a remote, like for your VCR.
Yes, maybe. And actually, am I being crazy?
Yes.
There's some sort of LED indication of when the battery is running low. I think it's a rechargeable battery.
That's what you want, a guitar with indicators.
Yes, I do. Stig Peterson style, like the rocket bass. But yeah, no, I thought that was it seemed like a really nice addition to the lineup. I mean, I think when we went, Joe, they were like, we make more John Petrucci guitars than anything else. Yeah. Because they pretty much build to order in the factory. And they're like, we just basically always build John Petrucci guitars. Apart from that, doesn't seem to be a huge amount of changes apart from the main colours. And then obviously the purple Nebula, which I just checked the retail pricing, didn't realise at first. This is a limited run of 200 pieces, priced at $5,299. So
I'll take two.
I'll take two. So yeah, it's a highly figured quilt maple top over older sides with a neck through of mahogany and maple. Same pickup, same bridge. It's just that kind of, I'd imagine the way they've done the top, I mean, it looks so good that I think there's probably a lot of work gone into that. And then they've also done a few updates to the JP15. So for those of you unaware, there is a John Petrucci, there's a John Majesty, there's a John Petrucci figure top, a JP15, a JPX1, and a standard John Petrucci. So the JP15 is coming in a few more colours. I must admit, I don't like the body shape on this one as much as I like the Majesty. This one comes in with a few different DiMarzio pickups. Still got the piezo bridge, still got the onboard boost. But they're just adding, I believe, a couple of new colours to this one. Yeah, there's a Koa top edition. Oh, no, sorry, that's a different one. Where are they listing the colours now? Oh, there's basically one new blue colour, which they are listing on the website. Still comes in a bunch of the other colours that were available. Yeah, to me, I don't know. It doesn't stand out as much. I think if it was me, I'd much rather have the Majesty. And they're also doing a Koa version of the figured top John Petrucci, which I believe is coming out at... crazy money, also $3,250.
Koa always commands a premium, though, doesn't it? It's always a lot more money.
But I think the main thing there is the Majesty. Four new colours, I believe that's their most popular model. I was interested at first because the press release said Akume body, but the list's nowhere on the website. So if anyone from Ernie Ball is listening, and it is a Kuma body and the website is wrong, please let us know. And please send us one of the purple ones. That'd be awesome. Thanks.
Speaking of signature models, good segue. Speaking of signature models, J. Cross Fender have added a new signature model to their lineup.
Yeah, so this is one that was teased or leaked, I guess, depending on your point of view, a few months ago, and people have been really excited about it. And then I think it was officially announced at Winter NAMM, but is now maybe only shipping now. I'm not 100% sure. But it is the brand new Jim Root Jazzmaster. So this is made in the Mexico factory, which is the first time that Jim Root has had a Jazzmaster from there. There has been the Strat and the Tele alongside the Strat and the Tele from the American factory. Is that right? Or am I making that up?
I can't
remember, actually.
I'm sure they were American,
were they all Mexico?
Weren't they? I think they were, weren't they, like...
I think they were all Mexico, as far as
I know.
Were they?
Actually, okay. Now I say it, I think maybe they were all Mexico.
Okay.
To be honest with you, I can't remember. But this is a new one. How about that? So
I bloody love it. I think it's wicked.
I think it's really good as well. So it is a white, just a stark white, which is a polar white, which is a finish that he's had on his guitars before. Mahogany body. The description here is fantastic. Joe is going to absolutely hate it. Let me just see where it's... Oh, yeah. The Jim Root Jazzmaster 2 dispenses with frivolities such as vibrato, rhythm circuit, tone control. Only crucial elements remain. a volume control, a three-way switch, and a hardtail bridge. And I mean, I would argue that actually the three-way switch is probably also a frivolity. But that's, you know, that's fine. That's fine. And maybe the volume control is a bit frivolous as well. But, you know, we can't, we, like, it's fine. Everybody's got their own opinion. It's, you know, that's whatever. But so this has got ebony board, 12-inch ebony board. It's got his new EMG signature pickups in, which are the Damonum. Matt Damonum. So it's got his new signature EMG pickups, which look like they also were announced at NAMM. I was having a look on the EMG website. I couldn't see for sure. But these are kind of his own take on the classic 8160 EMGs, which were in all of his Fender guitars up
he's
until
really,
now.
He's really stuck with Fender, isn't he? I mean, this is, you know, as you say, V4. I guess, is that just because it's the fourth signature model or the fourth Jazz Master?
It's the fourth version of it, I think.
I don't know where V4 comes from, because it's not...
I think this is the fourth... Because I've followed these guitars for a while, and I'm pretty sure this is like the fourth revision.
Of the Jazz, though, or of his
signatures? Of the
signatures?
Jazz Master. Of the Jazz Master.
Right, okay.
Just to,
I think they quite often change the pickups or something.
Don't know. They've always been 81 and 60s, even since the original. The original.
Yeah,
tennis.
But here's his new signature in these ones, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Just to clarify, the Tele, Jim Root Tele, was made in Mexico, and the Strat was made in the US.
Right.
Ah. Right, okay. And of course, there was a Jazz Master as well.
And there was a Squire Tele as well.
Yeah, there was the Squire range as well. I couldn't tell you where the Jazz Masters were made. It looks like... Did the Strat come out first?
No, I think the Tele was first.
I can't remember, though. But
I'm sure the Tele was first, because that's why there's only a Tele and the Squire.
I can't remember.
Actually, maybe it was the Tele, because I do remember... So the Tele, I was looking it up. The Tele came out in 2008, which seems like an absolutely crazy amount of time ago. But obviously, we won't go into it again. But he did come in and buy one at GAC, one of the Strats, when Slipknot were playing in Brighton. He came in and bought one. And apparently...
He sold it to him.
Very, very nice bloke. Oh, just... one of the guys who works in the shop. It wasn't any of us, unfortunately. But this guitar looks great, and it's Jim Root still sticking with Fender. Wicked geezer. I tell you what, also, that new record, that new Slipknot album, I've listened to it a couple of times. It's brilliant. Really good. I was never really that into them.
The first one's amazing. Even for me, who's like... I don't really like metal. I never listened to metal. Yeah. I can listen to that first Slipknot album. It's really good.
Yeah, I mean, I just, you know, I talked about it a few weeks ago with Rage Against the Machine. You know, you're sort of supposed to get into these bands when you're, you know, 14, 15 or whatever. That's when our generation of people got into bands like that. And I never did. I think it's because I was listening to loads of ska punk at the time, and Slipknot's kind of the antithesis of that. But, you know, since I've sort of grown up a little bit, I've gone back, and that new Slipknot record is banging. It's really good.
Jay Cross raging against the machine at 32 years old.
I mean, I saw them live last year, and they were just amazing. One of the best live bands I've ever seen. And the show is like absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, I bet it is. I'd really like to see them.
But I was just, while you were sort of running through that model, I was like, oh yeah, they did some sandblasted ones. I remember them being pretty cool.
Jim Root sandblasted.
Sandblasted Jazz Master and Tele, yeah.
Oh, I don't remember that at all.
Yeah. They looked, I thought they looked pretty cool. But then as I Googled it, I was like, oh my God, there's a matte red one. I'm like, that looks amazing. And then I've realised the website is AliExpress.com. I'm like, okay. That is not a real Jim Root Jazz Master. But it looked cool in matte red.
The sandblasted ones look absolutely amazing.
I don't remember those at all.
I'm just looking right now. They're basically...
I could not get behind that finish when they came out. They looked like toys.
I can't see a picture of the Tele, though. I can only see the Jazzmaster sandblasted. I don't think there was a Tele.
Oh, yeah, there is one here.
Oh, is there? Okay, fine.
It looks... I wonder if... Yeah, so Winter NAMM 2015. So that actually would be... after I left GAC and before I started at Fender, I guess. I can't remember. But yeah, no, they look wicked. Yeah, no, I don't remember this at all. Looks
on
fantastic.
On a random tangent, just looking at that finish just made me remember a telly that we had. What was the model where they used, it was like an old barn door?
It was
part of Telebration, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was part of Telebration.
But
that
what was the
I think was that
model?
Called the
yeah,
old growth? Was
old
that the
growth?
Old growth telly?
Wasn't it just called Old Barn?
Yeah, it was something like that. Because there was a barn, a bridge, something else.
Because basically we had one that had a hole right the way through the middle. Where a
nail for the door,
best,
yeah.
Yeah, it was one of the best tellies I remember ever playing. I just got reminded of that and I'm like...
What were the pickups you got in the neck of those? It was something interesting, wasn't it?
I can't remember.
We can't remember.
Oh, yeah,
it was
a, no, you're right. It was some sort of guild pickup. It was, yeah, it was a like a guild. Oh no!
Oh, listeners, help us out.
Or a Starfire pickup. I think it was a Starfire pickup. I think is what it was in there.
It wasn't the old growth. The old growth was the redwood.
Yeah.
Which
I think took ages
to. There was one that like was announced, but then one that like never came out because it was supposed to be like from a bridge or something, and then that bridge never got knocked down or something like that.
I've actually got the list of the 12 Telebration guitars here, and actually I'm not sure the bridge one, the barn one is part of this because you've got the vintage Hot Rod 52, which is a 52 with a humbucker in the neck, the Browns Canyon Redwood, which I think is the bridge guitar.
Yeah, which I think became the old growth.
Yeah.
Redwood.
The Empress Telecaster, which was the one
they
made
were
of Empress
amazing.
Wood. The 75 Natural, which was a 75 Telecaster with the block inlays in the neck. A Natural, do you remember that guitar?
Yes.
There was the Light Rosewood, which was a Rosewood telly, basically. The Mahogany telly, which was a mahogany body. The Lambu Telecaster. Which was
bamboo.
Bamboo.
That was great.
A 62 telly, which was bound like a custom Telecaster, but with block inlays. Then there was Cabernita, the Old Pine telly, which that might have been the barn guitar, maybe.
Yeah, I think so. Barncaster.
Yeah, there was... I've just found, the Fender Barncaster.
I don't think it was called that. Anyway, the other two guitars were the Modern Thin Line, which is like a Tele Deluxe Thin Line, and the Flame Top Tele, which is a Tele with a Flame Maple Top.
So those are all guitars from the Telebration line, which was 2012, celebrating the 60th anniversary of the Telecaster.
Yeah.
And, of course, we're now only about 18 months away from 2022, when we'll be celebrating the 70th anniversary of the Telecaster.
Yeah.
So I assume there'll be something mad comes out.
Wait, it's even
closer
than that, because Telebration was actually 2011.
Oh, okay. So, yeah. So we're about 6 months away from it then.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
So what are you working on, Jay? How are you going to celebrate the 70th anniversary of the telly?
Yeah, spill the beans.
I'll be doing what I always do, which is playing both the chords that I know on whatever guitar is hanging around closest to me.
Nice.
Oh, wonderful. Ah, well, there we go. That, that gentleman pretty much brings us to a close of this week's episode of the Guitar Nerds podcast. You can, of course, listen to an entire extra episode of Guitar Nerds every week over on our Patreon site at patreon.com/guitarnerds. You can find it in the description of this podcast. This week is the penultimate episode of
Guitar Nerds.
My and Matt's series, The Pedals That Made Us. So you can tune in over there and listen to us talk about our favourite effects pedals from our adolescence to today. To become a Patreon supporter, it costs only $1 a month, and you can enjoy the podcast ad-free and early. At the $5 tier, you get an extra episode every week, plus access to our entire back catalogue of over 400 episodes of podcasts in their various series. And at the $10 tier, you can become an executive producer. Enjoy all those benefits and have the prestigious honor of having your name sung in the podcast outro song. Congratulations to Moo Gravit, who last week pointed out the complete absurdity of the outro song. I wanted to try something a little different last time to see if anyone actually listened to the outro song anymore. And sure enough, Moog still does. I simply auto-tuned my voice to the maximum amount and then garbled all the names almost completely incoherently and not really to the tune that was playing, just to see what happened.
Sounds great. Sounds like people are really getting their value for money.
It was an experiment. Anyway, this week I'll make sure it's extra good, so don't worry. So there we go. But anyway, thank you very much for tuning in. You can, of course, join us on all the major social platforms with @GuitarNerds. And
I think there should be... Sorry, I'm just going to cut across you there.
Oh, yeah,
I think there should be a point where the Patreon backers get to choose the style
and
the method of delivery of the song. So, like, do you want Joe to stand in his... front garden and sing the names out very loudly like Pavarotti?
That's a good idea.
Or do you want him to sing the names on video whilst in the shower or anything like that? You know, I think come up with something good, and Joe will 100% definitely do it.
I don't have any scruples. I'll do whatever.
What?
That sounds good.
Well, we'll find out if you film yourself in the shower, won't we?
Anyway, you can join us on Facebook at facebook.com/guitar nerds forum. Thank you very much for tuning in, and we'll be back next week with more of this guitar nerdery. Farewell.
Cheers, gang.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Kennedy, Christopher Lloyd, Seth Hans, Sam, Derek, Rich, Rob, Murdoch, Steve, Murdoch.